At the University of Adelaide, Jack McLean's accident research unit embarked on speed studies in the 1990s.
One of our researchers, Vivian Moore, took a look at the speed at which vehicles were travelling in fatal head injury cases. And we mounted, again, a case control study, but this time looking at travelling speed and how that related to the risk of being involved in a crash. We had people on call to go out to crashes when an ambulance was called. They went out to 1,000 crashes. And we were able to calculate how the risk of being involved in a crash was related to speed. And we concluded that travelling at 65 kilometres per hour in a 60 zone doubled your risk of crash involvement, and every 5 kilometres per hour doubled it again. There are many people who say, how can this be? The risk on a given journey is almost infinitesimally small, which is why driving seems to be so safe. If you take a tiny, tiny risk and double it, it is still a tiny risk. But if everybody doubles their risk of crash involvement, you double the road toll.
Maureen Elliott is General Manager Safer People at the RTA.
There is a school of thought by some people that speeding is not the problem. You can drive well and speed. It's that people can't manoeuvre their car out of difficult situations or can't adjust in significant time to a changing situation. Speed limits are created according to that road texture, alignment, gradient. So there's quite a formula to determining what speed limit should go there. It's not just a whimsical, I'll just keep you guys going slow and we'll stick a 50 in here. It's not that at all. So there are scientific principles for why we pick a speed limit. But people's impression of what speeding is what we still struggle with. The intent of putting speed restrictions in is not about slowing people from getting from one place to another. It's about making sure that they get there safely and other people do. And just as a point of example, when we started putting in 40k school zones, a lot of people threw their arms up and said, why would you slow people down to 40? Sometimes there's not a child in sight and you're making me late for work. When we looked at the average length of a school zone and the difference in time that it took during the normal speed of 60 or 50 and having to slow to 40 for that length was only a matter of about 7 seconds. 7 seconds in the course of life is nothing, but people are in a hurry all the time. But our speed limits and our programs to reduce speed, whether they be speed cameras, enforcement, red light cameras, are there not to irritate people. There's a very sound reason why that speed should be adhered to.
Dr. Bruce Corbin is Senior Research Fellow at Monash University's Accident Research Centre.
There's research that we've taken from both Australia and Europe which shows the relationship between speed and the risk of a pedestrian dying at a given impact speed. And we know that impacts of around 30, 35 kilometres per hour lead to about 1 in 10 pedestrians dying. When that impact speed rises to about 40 kilometres per hour, then about 2 or 3 out of every 10 pedestrians will die. By the time you get to 50 kilometres per hour, it's virtually 8 or 9 out of every 10 will die. So there's a very dramatic increase in the risk of death to a pedestrian as a function of rising impact speed. And that's the reason why if we get the speeds right in pedestrian environments, then we can dramatically reduce the risk of severe outcomes and the likelihood of crashes, of course, as well.
The reduction of the general urban speed limit in Australia from 60 to 50 kilometres per hour was a milestone in road safety. Chris Ford,